Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
So what a week it has been, from Vincent Kompany's rocket on Monday night to one of the greatest nights in Liverpool's history on Tuesday, and then to top it all off, the 95th minute winner from Lucas Moura to send Spurs into their first ever European Cup final last night. Just a bit to get through, John.
Yeah. Need a couple of hours, Nathan.
You enjoyed it so far this week?
That was brilliant. Brilliant. The whole weekend, you know, from the obviously the race for the Premiership to go into the Champions League, to get the two matches that we got. You know, I was talking to somebody there, like if you'd written it on Monday, nobody'd believe it, you know? If you're writing a novel about what happened in the three matches, but particularly the last two, it's just incredible.
Let's talk about Liverpool first then, and you say the whole week actually, it's something that maybe hasn't been spoken about, how Liverpool were able to get to that level on Tuesday night, considering the stress of the title race, that they had to go to Newcastle, they had injury problems, they left it late, and the mental toll that that should bring on them. Mm-hmm. Was it the fact that actually it seemed like a hopeless cause, 3-0 down, that gave them a bit more freedom?
Well, first of all, your mental, the mental turmoil, as it were. But when you're in the position that Liverpool are in, Nathan, actually it's not mental turmoil. It becomes part of the norm, because that's what you have to do. And being good pros, as they all are, you want to be in that position. You know, this is not a situation where, oh God, here we've got to go another match. This is where you want to be. Mm. You're a footballer. You want to be playing for these big titles. And that's what, and Klopp has obviously got a thing among the squad, the atmosphere, because he's into it in a big way. And he's got players around him that he's brought in and he's created over the last 3 years who want to be in the position that they're in. It's not, oh God, look at the position, this we've got to win this match. This is a match they want to play in. This is a match that you dream about playing in when you're a certain type of professional. And that's what they did. So it's not a chore.
Yeah.
It's not a chore. It's where you want to be, really where you want to be. And that's where and they've done it, you know. They at Newcastle, they did what needed to be done in the end. And the other night, of course, absolutely brilliant to do what they did. I'd have to say now I was very disappointed with Barcelona and their approach to the game, but that's nothing to do with Liverpool. They were up for it in a way that they should be up for it and well-deserved to do it.
On Liverpool then, was this a performance more reminiscent to Liverpool of a year ago, where it was emotion, it was energy, that maybe the control that they've been able to bring to a lot of their Premier League games, they didn't need to show that? They could actually just go and, as you often say, the go that Jurgen Klopp brings, they could actually just let loose because they had, in some ways, nothing to lose.
Well, they had something to lose, Nathan. I mean, they've got to keep chasing Man City. You know, if they lose at Newcastle, it's all over. Mm. So they have a lot to do there. Champions League, 3 down, a lot to lose there as well. So all more credit to them to do what they're doing. But again, in Klopp's case, he's done really, really, led them really well, because it all comes from the manager. You know, if the manager gets nervous and does all this, well, then the team will follow. But where he hasn't, he's been positive about everything he's done. He's doing his go. It's second nature for him to do that. And the players follow. I mean, that's what makes great managers. You know, if you don't have a good manager, you can have a terrific lot of players, Barcelona have, and they're not going to do it. And he's insisted on doing it and doing it the way he's done it. So he wants to be there as well. I mean, what a position to be in, to be chasing trophies like that. And some teams fighting against relegation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real pressure. You know, when you're up there in doing what they did, it's a joy to go out and play and get the results that they're getting.
It was clear from quite early that Liverpool weren't going to take a step back. There was even Andy Robertson with a little push on the back of Messi's head in the first minute or so. Fabinho had quite either a full-blooded type of tackle you want, or a reckless challenge, whichever way you want to look at it, in the first 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they get
I don't agree with that, actually, Nathan. I mean, Robertson was foolish doing what he was did, and Fabinho was a little bit... You don't have to do that to prove what you're going to do. Like, when you're doing it in a professional way, you get stuck in and you do it. They didn't make a difference to the game.
You don't think it puts into Barcelona's head that... Do they want the fight? Do they want the physical side of it?
No, but you can do that without doing something silly. And like what Robertson did, in my opinion, was silly. It could have been come back on him, might have got a yellow card. You don't have to do silly things. I mean, actually, part of the game is when you're in a situation like that is to keep the head. You know, that's one of the hard parts in a match that means so much, to be really professional and keep your head. So what Liverpool did actually from the start, it wasn't so much what Robertson did or Fabinho, it's what they did all round, where they generally went after the ball, created their chances, and Barcelona, for some reason or other, weren't prepared to match them. I mean, Barcelona didn't turn up now. I mean, a huge disappointment, and that's nothing to do with Liverpool, because Liverpool did what they had to do and won it and deserved to do it. But I'd have to say I was really, really disappointed with Barcelona's approach to this particular game.
What was their approach? What do you think they were trying to do?
Didn't play. I mean, Suarez was acting the bowsy. He was going, he would never kick the ball. Even Messi wasn't up for it. You know, they let Liverpool totally dominate them. Now, Liverpool, good luck to them. They played great. I'm not taking anything away from Liverpool at all. They were terrific. They played in a way that you would expect them to play. Barcelona certainly didn't play the way I expected them to play. They were very unprofessional. I mean, you take the last goal, for example, the winning goal. Like, there was six or seven or eight players with their back to the ball, allowing Origi in the 6-yard line to score from that position, Nathan.
What does that suggest? Is this an arrogance that they've done it all before and they're 3-0 up? I know at that stage it's 3-0 and Liverpool have got back into it.
No, it's their approach to the game. You see, these are professionals and some of the top professionals, best players in the world. Whether you're 3-up or 3-down, Nathan, you approach the game in a professional manner. There's no, well, we're going there with a 3-0 win and therefore we can take it easy. Professional players don't do that. They're there and they get the job done. Whatever way they approach it, and you have to go back to the coach and the manager, whoever it's be, who obviously didn't insist or have them in the right frame of mind for that particular match. I don't know, but what I do know, and football is great for that, what's right or wrong manifests itself on the pitch. Liverpool were up for it in the way that they should be up for it. They were absolutely brilliant in their professional approach. Barcelona weren't. I don't know why, but they certainly weren't up for it in the way that they should have been up for it.
Do you often see that? I know it's a Champions League semi-final, so it's such an important game, it's hard to think that a team wouldn't be up for it and be properly prepared. But with that 3-0 lead, is it just some sort of an arrogance?
Well, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't right. But that comes from the manager. But these are top pros that night. And when you win a match 3-0 the previous week, and don't forget, they were quite fortunate to win a 3-0. No professional football, real professional guy, it's enough. Doesn't happen that way. You go out with an approach. We're going to get stuck into these guys. We're going to make it really difficult for them. And they didn't do that. I don't know why, but you'd have to bring it back to the manager or the coach, whatever he is, that he's the one that dictates this is the way we're going to approach the game, as Klopp did for Liverpool.
Yeah.
In a perfect way. I know Liverpool had to pull it back. But when you're a professional footballer like these Barcelona players, you don't take anything for granted. If you're winning 6-0, you don't take it for granted. The attitude should be going out, right, we're going to get stuck in it. We're going to give them nothing, absolutely nothing. They didn't have that approach, Barcelona. And Liverpool were great. Liverpool were up for it. They did their job, did it well and deserved it. But again, you go back to the last goal, the winning goal. I mean, you couldn't have done, from Barcelona's point of view, you couldn't have done anything worse than what they did. Mm. You know, Shankly had a saying in football, when the ball goes dead, you come alive. Well, they were a long time taking the corner kick and they still weren't ready for it. You know, I just can't work it out at all. I couldn't imagine Liverpool giving a goal away like that. They were up for the game quite rightly and they were unlucky. I thought they were unlucky last week to lose the game 3-0. Barcelona would know that as well. The coach would know that as well. So there shouldn't be any complacency going into a match that you did well to win 3-0 when you didn't deserve it, to make sure, and the players themselves would know.
And everyone knew what was coming from Liverpool.
Exactly. I just don't make it out. I can't make it out that the and you have to go back to the coach. He's the one that sets the tone. Liverpool were up for it in the right way. That goes back to Klopp. They're very positive, and the way they approached it, the physical aspects of it were great. Liverpool were terrific. And that's down to the manager getting them ready for that particular match. Whatever happened at Barcelona, I think the manager or coach, whatever they call him now, definitely wasn't doing his stuff.
Is there anything Messi could have done to turn the tide?
Messi wasn't even up for it. You know, this is what I can't understand. I mean, Suarez was a disgrace, really. on the night. He was kicking more Liverpool players and acting the bowsy rather than playing. But even Messi in the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, didn't get a kick of the ball. And he didn't seem to be up for it in a way that you would expect him to do it.
You obviously can't question Messi's greatness over the course of his career. But where he is right now then, like often you talk about, you know, great players make it happen for themselves. They inspire those around them. Does that hugely disappoint you then, with what you saw from Messi on Tuesday night?
Yeah, definitely. As we've always gone on about Messi as one of the greatest players ever. On the match against Liverpool, he wasn't. He didn't impose himself on the game, Nathan. It wasn't as somebody was marking him tightly, he couldn't get it. He just seemed to be a bit dozy, you know. Like, he wasn't, like, he should have been demanding the ball like he normally does. He wasn't doing that, but neither would the Barcelona team. I can't give you a reason for it. I just don't understand how they could be so lethargic in a match that is a hugely important game to do what they did. And Liverpool, good luck to them, took full advantage of it. Liverpool did their stuff in the way that they should do their stuff. Very professional. They set a pace, which was great. And Barcelona didn't respond. But that's up to them. That's nothing to do with Liverpool. Liverpool just have to do what they have to do. And they did it, and did it extremely well. Extremely well.
There was obviously a lot of individual performances from Liverpool, and one of those who has been most highly spoken about was Trent Alexander-Arnold for his quick thinking for the corner kick, for spotting the opportunity at just 20 years of age in a situation like that.
But funny enough, Nathan, it wasn't that quick. Do you know what I mean? If you go back on it, he worked the corner kick, then he went over to the ball, then he went away from the ball. Right, because I think Shakira was going to take it or whatever it was. So he didn't take it. He didn't get the ball down straight away before they got back. I mean, Barcelona had ages and ages of time to get back. It wasn't he got onto the ball quickly. He got onto the ball not quickly. He walked away from it. Then he came back from it, and Origi was still on. After all that, I mean, if you take it sharply, really, really quick, you'd say, "Oh, fair, they cut them out." But it was just, I cannot believe for a team of their experience, Barcelona, to approach that particular goal, or defend it, or not defend it in the way that they did. It wasn't a quick corner kick. It was a very clever corner kick. Good luck to Alexander. He picked it out. But I'd say he was amazed when he went back to the ball for the second time.
That he got away with
it. Origi is still on his own inside the 6-yard line. You know, it's just incredible. And good luck to him. He did. He picked the ball out well. And to be fair to Origi, he put it in extremely well. Very, very good. I'm not taking anything away from Liverpool. Liverpool were excellent and did what needed to be done from their point of view. I just find it amazing from a team and experience of Barcelona to respond or not respond in a way that you would expect them to.
The performance of Alexander-Arnold and Robertson this season and their statistics in terms of the amount of goals they set up is record-breaking at this stage. And I guess with goalkeepers, we know there's been a sort of transformation in what's expected of a goalkeeper, and they now have to play a bit of football as well. Have you seen a transformation of what is expected from fullbacks from the best teams in the Premier League now as well? That traditionally, and maybe now, you would look at Trent Alexander-Arnold and think defensively is suspect. Whereas actually, does that matter as much to fullbacks anymore?
Well, to be fair, I think Alexander is suspect defensively. He's very, very good for going forward. Now, in relation to Robertson is very good defensively as well. I think he's the complete fullback, and he's been very, very, very good. I think when Liverpool are under pressure, I don't think Alexander is a good defender. He is very good going forward, as we saw. He's a good cross of the ball. But Robertson does that as well as defending. So I think there's more emphasis on fullbacks now than ever before, because become wing-backs now, who are expected to defend, but it's mostly to release the balls, and Liverpool do it extremely well, and have created an awful lot of goals from the two players. There's no doubt about that. And he did, Alexander, for the winning goal, did respond in the right way. You know, like it wasn't a quick one, but it was quick enough to be quicker than any of the Barcelona players responding. And didn't respond in the way that they did. So they're great, they're terrific players for Liverpool in the way that they play. Because again, with Klopp, I've just described him as a one-trick pony with a very good trick, and I still believe that. He sees them attacking all the time. No doubt. But he sees, in the personality, he's improved the defendant. He's got a goalkeeper now that he didn't have before. He's got Van Dijk come into the centre of defence. He's got Robertson, who wasn't in the team. Arnold has come into the team as well. He's got Gomez as well to come in at the right time. So the actual personnel of the defending has improved. There's no doubt about that, because he's got really, really good defenders in. We had Mourinho in one time. He had a dodgy goalkeeper. He didn't have Van Dijk when they were doing what they were trying to do, what he wanted them to do. Now he has those players, and the attacking is just as good as it was, if not better.
Yeah.
Than a year or two back.
It is some testament to the power of Jurgen Klopp's coaching ability, how far he's brought Liverpool, that you look at them right now and they're deservedly in a Champions League final for the second year in a row, third year out of four they're in a European final, they're right there in contention with a record points total to win a Premier League title as well. And you look at the actual players who started the last night, no Salah, no Firmino, Divock Origi, who was on loan at Wolfsburg last season, Shaqiri, who was relegated with Stoke, James Milner, who's probably in the latter stages of his career, Jordan Henderson, who people had big question marks, Alexander-Arnold's a young guy, Robertson was relegated with Hull. Like, his ability as a man-manager to bring players to another level.
Yeah, well, he has done that, Nathan. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Robertson was a very good player at Hull. Well, obviously picked him up because he was in his contract with relegate, which is great. And you've got to get those players, the same with Shaqiri, in that. But of course, when you're in the position of Liverpool, you have to give credit to the manager. He is what he is. And I still go back to the one-trick pony. I don't mean it in a bad way. I think it's a very, very good trick what he does. And he's brave in what he does. I don't think he sees any danger. You know, I think when he's gone out to play, he's going to have the full-backs bombing forward. He's going to have the players doing this. I'm working hard, honest. I mean, that was the big thing between the two teams the other night. Liverpool were honest. Barcelona weren't honest in their approach to the game. And of course, Klopp deserves all the credit he's getting for what he's doing. He's improved the team gradually. And I think what he does is, I don't think he pays too much attention to the opposition. If he gets his players doing what he wants them to do, because when Liverpool are winning 1-0, you don't see them like a lot of teams getting tactical and sitting back and bringing a defensive player on. It's go again, go again.
Is that what you want as a player? Because funnily enough, one of the issues as they start to come out now around Arsenal and Unai Emery is that the players have felt at Arsenal that he's too obsessed with the opposition, that they spend so much time thinking about what they're going to do and setting up to counter it, that they don't get to express themselves. They're changing tactics all the time because they're wondering what the team they're playing are going to do. As a player, I guess you always want to know something about the opposition. But do you want a manager who says, this is our style of play, we impose it no matter what?
Yeah, well, that's my belief on it. I've always felt in my managerial career that if you do what you want to do, right, then it goes against the opposition. Now, if you plan to play against the opposition, then you're giving them credit for doing what. Whereas if you have, there's only one ball on the pitch, and if you do what you want to, I've never played in a team that was 100% perfect in what they did, right? And I remember years ago, when I was playing for Leeds, who were a well-organised team, we played Swansea, who were in the fourth division, and the scout came up to see us the week before, and the big headline said, I've seen weaknesses in the Leeds team, right? What about his own team? You know, like, if you put everything right in your team that you want to do, you will naturally expose the weaknesses of the opposition, rather than saying, well, the opposition is weak on that. This is, obviously, if you've got a bad left back, then you try to do it. But getting your own team in order. And I played with a very good team at Leeds. We never got it 100% right. But if you do what you want to do, then you'll expose the opposition. And that's what Klopp does. I don't think he concentrates on the opposition at all. This is what we're going to do. As you say with Arsenal, with the Arsenal players complaining, if you keep talking about the opposition, what they're doing wrong or what the weakness in their open, what about your weaknesses? If you put your own weaknesses right, you will naturally expose the weaknesses of the opposition.
Yeah.
So concentrate on what you have to do.
And I guess to be a great team, you need that belief.
Of course. Well, you get the belief with the results. Mm. Obviously, you pay respect to the opposition. Your corner kicks, if a fella's good, and you do all that. But the basic stuff in playing, if you get your team to play the way you want them to play, that's your job to do. You can't legislate for the opposition all the time. You respect them, but you have to do what you want to do yourself. And there's only one, again, to go back, one ball on the pitch. I've never played in a team that was 100% right in every match, Nathan. Never. There's always something you can do better, you can do better, regardless of the opposition. Do you know what I mean? If you've got playing the left back against you that's a bit weak, if you play really well, you will naturally expose it. You don't have to go out of your way to expose them. And if you've got weaknesses, right, you'll be naturally exposed. So what you do is you put your own weaknesses, put your own team in order as much as you possibly can, and then you go from there. And the players believe in that as well.
When you look at the level Liverpool got to on Tuesday night against Barcelona, and they've got to consistently this season in the Premier League, are you surprised how far Jurgen Klopp has been able to bring them from where they started, from when he first took over?
I wouldn't say I was surprised, Nathan, because it hasn't done it overnight. I mean, he's been there 3 years. And, I mean, we did have a spell with Liverpool where Mourinho was playing at left back. They didn't have a goalkeeper. They didn't have Van Dijk, you know. And he's put that right over a period of time. So he's at the position now, after 3 years, that he's recognised what wasn't good enough to put it right to where he is at this moment. Yeah. And that's good management. But it didn't happen overnight. Never does happen overnight. Very, very seldom happens overnight. Anyway, so he gets full credit for doing and recognising. Took him a while, I think, a couple of the things to recognise that these are not good enough. But he's put it right now, and they're reaping the rewards for it. You know, the other night they were excellent in the game that they had to win 3 goals down. And Barcelona didn't turn up. That's their business. He can only do what he can do, and he did it extremely well.
There's a sort of fatalism, I think, among Liverpool supporters because they've been so disappointed so often over the last 3 decades that if it doesn't happen this season, it'll never happen. No. Do you look at them and look at that team and where they are and think they're going to be here for the next 2-3 years contending?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, like this time last year, they weren't in the position they're in now, Nathan. So that's a huge improvement. So it's on the up and up all the time. And, I mean, what he's doing at Klopp, it's not a fluke. He's got a good squad of players now. He can maybe get another couple in the summer. But, like, to do what they did, I mean, the record number of points, and they still haven't won it. That's because Manchester City are doing what they're doing, which has made it a great, great chase. But all you can look at is your own team. And Klopp has definitely improved his team since last year and certainly since he took over the club in a big way. So they're going in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. And he has definitely done a terrific job with them.
All right, we'll talk a bit more about what might happen on the final day of the season and, of course, about Tottenham's victory against Ajax last night. But we need to take a quick break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
So John Giles is still with us in studio a little bit later than usual for the football show tonight, which means we've plenty of time to talk about the week that was, and it is an all-English Champions League final. Spurs will be the opposition for Liverpool, their first ever European Cup final, and whatever about it looking unlikely for Liverpool ahead of the second leg, it looked highly unlikely for Tottenham at half-time in the second leg when they had to score 3 goals. Was this a better comeback, actually? I know you don't
It's very difficult to know, Nathan. I mean,
is it more difficult because Jurgen Klopp had a full week to prepare for Barcelona and they were at home to score these 3 goals, whereas actually Mauricio Pochettino had to react mid-game when things weren't going well?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to pick anyone. Both comebacks were great. Mm. There's no doubt about that. I think from Pochettino's point of view, he did make a couple of changes. It looked bad for them at half-time. But I'd say what might have been in his head and the player's head, I'm sure he reminded them, this team haven't been great at home, Aidan. I think they're a young team and I think they're all or nothing. I don't think they were experienced enough to tie the game up. You know, even in the second half, they hit the upright themselves, didn't they? So it was you go, we go.
There wasn't the control of the team with a 3-0 lead.
I don't think they were capable of doing that. I don't think that they're a young team. And if you look at their home record in this particular competition, you know, I don't think they were good at home at tying the game up. They were better away from home. But they are young. But I think an experienced couple of players on the pitch from half-time onwards wouldn't have necessarily been go for another goal. They would have been experienced enough to tie it up. And I don't think they had those type of players. And again, that's not taken away from Spurs because Spurs had an awful lot to do to win that particular game. And they did it extremely well. Was it Morey?
Lucas Morey, yeah.
Lucas Morey, hat-trick, you know. And I remember when he started playing for Spurs, he was too much of a dash for my liking. I never seemed to be composed about anything. And of course, that pays off in certain circumstances. And it certainly really did his stuff last night. You know, he took his goals extremely well. And you've got to give Spurs, again, full credit for sticking at it to get in there.
So again, that comeback, was that a mental thing that once the first goal went in, Ajax wilted, or were there actually players in that Tottenham team after half time that said, you know what, this is a Champions League semi-final, this is our moment,
no,
I'm going to take control of this situation?
I think that would come from Pochettino at half time to do what they needed to do. It comes from the manager, Ned. Of course, the players have to go out and they have to have the will to do it. But it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, there are players that he's had there for the last 2 or 3 years that he can trust. You know, players that he couldn't trust obviously have gone. So these are players that, under these circumstances, he knows he can trust. They've done it before in certain ways, not quite as dramatically as last night, but he knows they were capable of doing it. And he had to keep his nerve as well to do what needed to be done, to keep the belief there, to keep doing the right things, which they did. So it's all down to management and players. I mean, a great manager with bad players is not going to do much good, and vice versa. Mm. So it was a good team effort all round. And I think the inexperience of Ajax really showed in the second half, when other teams would have tied up the game at that particular stage at half time. And they were still go for the goal. They hit the upright, might have finished it off, had another couple of chances that might have happened, but didn't. And I'd have to say that the in the second half, particularly the left back, you have to
pray.
It was definitely a weakness, Nathan. Definitely, even for the last goal, he lost Murray. He was a weakness for it. But anyway, that's inexperience. But I think they had the attitude, and maybe didn't have the players, any of the players, to be able to tie up that game. You know, because goals dictate matches, Nathan. And you see, in the really, really top great teams, they got 3-0 up at half time. They're not going to lose it. They can play, you know, goals dictate the game. So if you're 3-0, you can play in a certain way to tie the game up if you have the players to do it. And then if you have to go to get the three goals, then it's a different way altogether. But certainly the top teams, in my opinion, over the years, if they go 3-0, Nathan, they're not going to lose it. They won't look like scoring themselves again, but they're not going to, you can play in a certain way.
I was wondering, has that actually changed over the last 2 or 3 years? Because these type of comebacks are happening all the time in the Champions League. And even that game between Manchester City and Tottenham in the quarter final, like Manchester City, you would think, have so much experience at this stage that they should be able to control a game when they get themselves in a decent position. But it was just chaos. It just seems to be this constant chaos of attack, attack, attack.
I think there's a lack of what we call midfield generals now. I think De Bruyne play against, he's capable of controlling the game. But you don't see like a Graeme Souness or a Modric around now where these guys can spot this game is going against us to get a grip of the ball, a few simple passes here and there, which takes the buzz out of the game. You know, that's all management of the game. I think there are less midfield players around of that calibre that can do that. I mean, if you take Spurs themselves, Spurs don't have a midfield general. Eriksen's not a midfield, he's a good midfield player, and a few good midfield players, but there's nobody on that team you could say, oh, he got a grip of the game. And certainly in Ajax, they didn't have anybody that could get a grip of the game. So it's all or nothing.
And do you sense they don't want that? Do you think if Pochettino had the option of bringing Luka Modric back to the club, he would take him? Do you think he's looking out, or maybe Modric isn't the example, but do you think he's looking around this summer going, I want that midfield general? Yeah, or does he just want this energy?
No, he would have Modric back tomorrow. But where are they? Do you know what I mean, Nathan? Where are they now? Like, if you look at Modric comes to mind straight away. But when you look around the whole World Cup last year, who had the midfield general in the Modric? Modric carried Croatia a lot into that final. Without Modric, there wouldn't have been a team at all, in my opinion. A lot of good, honest players. But when you look around even the Premiership, you know, if I said to you, OK, pick out a midfield general in the whole of the Premiership, whether it be Manchester United, Manchester, De Bruyne does it better than anybody else when he's doing it. Liverpool, Fabinho could do it. He's better now than he was, but they didn't have anybody at all doing that particular role. And those particular players, Souness, when he was playing, if they got two goals up, you can, as they say in the game, you can smell the danger, right? You can smell it and you think, okay, I've got to get a grip of the ball. A pass here, a pass there, pass there. Just slow it down. And if you've nobody to do that, then the opposition are at you and at you and at you. Like Spurs were at Ajax last night.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that player seems to be drifting out of the game?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's a big answer. I mean, what I see in the game a lot is, and I know from experience that skill and that is way down the list on a lot of the coaches' thing. It's box to box, box to box. And my take on it is that the coaches, when they're young, most of the midfield players are quite skillful small guys. Mm. And I think at the lower levels in schoolboy football, I think the coaches are become too prominent in themselves to encourage the young players. Like the young kids, I've seen it myself. Young player, a skillful midfield player will make more mistakes than anybody else. So the coaching on the under nines, tens, the little guy makes a mistake, right, off you come, yeah. Put the big guy on, they go on and win the match, and the coach is the winning coach. And I think that the skillful kid, by the time he's 14, has had enough of it. They're not enjoying it anymore. That's one of the things I think is stopping it.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a statistic, and maybe it's not a good example considering what happened in the game on Tuesday night, but in the first leg for Barcelona, Lionel Messi's pass percentage success rate was 50%, mm. whereby, you know, he gave the ball away half the time. Mm. But it was obviously trying so many different things at different times.
Well, it's like it's unlike him to do that now, because what you say he's trying to do. The great thing that makes Messi great is not trying things that he's not giving the ball away. And you have to go back to that particular match. Messi, up to the time he scored the first goal, wasn't actually in the game. He wasn't having one of his best games. Now, the papers go mad, which is understandable, that he did change the game. But in his general play in the whole match, it wasn't a messy performance. As you say, he's only 50% of his passing. But he was dramatic because he scored a goal, and he scored that would grab the headlines in the paper. But I've seen Messi play better in matches than he did without, you know, just scoring ordinary goals. So even Messi can do it. But Messi's not a midfield player, Nathan. He's a striker. But you see, if you go back to Barcelona at the best, he had Xavi, Iniesta. Mm. Those guys, particularly Xavi, could control the game from the middle of the field. You know, really control the game. And he'd be the type of player, right, we're 2-0 up. Oh, this is looking a bit dangerous. I better get the ball. A couple of little passes here and there. This slows the game down, and that's how you see out the game. But they don't have a Xavi anymore. They don't have an Iniesta. Nobody has. So then it's more helter-skelter. In other words, you have to be able to control the game at different... So players in that position, if it's Modric, if you're losing 1-0, then you have to play... that you have to take more chances in doing it. If you're winning 1-0 and it's looking a bit, give me the ball, hold it, give me back to me, give me here, a ball here. Take the sting out of the game. You're quite right. Would Patelino have Modric? Definitely. Where are the Modrics? There's very few of them around, Nathan. You don't have an Iniesta and Xavi. That's why Barcelona, not the team. At the best, I think a few years ago, when Iniesta and Xavi, I think there would have been a good chance they would have controlled.
Oh, you'd have
game.
To think though.
Yeah, because if you look at the midfield of Barcelona today, who have they got in midfield?
Yeah, it's Rakitic and Arturo Vidal and Busquets. So Busquets is obviously the one remaining.
Yeah, but none of those three are going to control the game. Yeah. You know, they're good at what they do, but they're not an Iniesta and they're certainly not a Xavi.
Does Busquets not have that sort of ability?
No, not at all. Nowhere near.
Just doesn't have the range of passing?
No. Doesn't have the mentality, doesn't have the skill to, he might have the skill to read the game, say, we need to do something about it, but he hasn't got the ability to do anything about it. He is what he is. He's a good player. But when you talk about Xavi, Iniesta, Modric, these are guys who see it. Souness in his day. I can't think of anybody else at that particular time, but Souness was outstanding for Liverpool. Well, Scholes did it, to be fair, at Manchester United at the best. He could do it in a way, he could spot it more than Roy Keane could. You know, Roy Keane could do what he did, which was destroy the opposition, break it up and that. But Scholes was the one who said, give me the ball. Pass here, a pass there, take the sting out of it, see it out.
Does Dele Alli potentially have that
No,
he's ability?
Not. He doesn't do it at all. At all. He doesn't have the discipline to do it, Nathan. You see him have a kick at the fella last night, even. Like, Dele Alli's a bit of a pup. And he's a talented pup.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the mentality to do what's needed to be done in certain situations, not to control it. He'll play his part. He's a very talented lad, very, very talented lad. But he wouldn't spot it, or even if he did spot the game, that he wouldn't be able to. He hasn't got the ability to do that. Mm. Like, he plays midfield, like Eriksen is the same. They're playing in midfield, but they're not controlling the game. They're part of the game.
Yeah, sort of in front of the
ball. Difference between controlling it and playing your part.
Did he not do something slightly different in the second half? Was there not a sense that he wanted to take a bit more control of what was happening, of Dele Alli?
I don't know. I think it was where the game fell. You know, you see, they didn't have the experience to tie it up.
Mm.
So therefore, it's looser. Now he can come into it the same as anybody else. There's a difference between dictating it and being a part of it, Nathan. You know, Dele Alli won't control it. Eriksen won't control it. They'll be a part of it. But if you go back to Ajax, say Ajax had a Modric in there or a Souness in there, right? Dele Alli and Eriksen wouldn't have got as much of the ball. That's what these guys do. They're part of it. Eriksen is part of it. Talented lad. Dele's talented lad. But not dictating it.
Souness was obviously that good.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember him playing, and you see the videos on YouTube, and any highlights video of Graeme Souness is him flying into challenges and clattering people and tough as nails. But technically, when he had the ball...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he could read it. He could. He did that as well, Graeme. He was a tough guy. But Graeme could notice when the game is going against you. Give me the ball. And sometimes it's only 10 yard here, 10 yard there. It takes the sting out of the game. But you have to have the mentality to recognise that. See, when you're playing in a game, games have all different phases. You're 2-0 up, right? Does a certain thing happen, and like a Souness or Modric, that's not good. Give me the ball. Pass here, pass there, pass there. You know, they recognise it. As Graeme would say, well, you can smell it, you know, you can smell it coming. So they recognise it. And most players don't recognise it. And if they do recognise it, they haven't got the ability to do anything about it. Whereas a Modric can recognise it, Souness can recognise it, because there's different points. You go 2-0 up. Goals dictate games. Now you can play in a certain way. No chances, give it here, give it there, give it there. And the opposition get a little bit anxious. Then you nick through and get steal another one.
Mm.
But what you're saying, in effect, you're not going to get one. If it's going to be 2-0, it's going to end 2-0.
Can you teach that? Pick out, say, somebody like Declan Rice is probably one of the best, seen as one of the best young midfield players in England, and has been linked with Manchester United and Manchester City. If he goes to the right club, if he works with Pep Guardiola, can Guardiola teach him?
Yeah, I think Rice, if you're talking about Rice now in particular.
Or any young, good midfielder like that.
Yeah, well, I think Rice has the mentality to do it. I'm not so sure he has the ability to do it. There's two different, that's why they're so scarce, these midfield players. Some have the ability to do it on the ball, but don't have the mental ability to know when to do it, and vice versa. That's why they're special. That's why they're special players. I think it's a bit unfair for people to talk about Souness. I don't mean you, Nathan, to say he clodded. He did. He got stuck in, all right. And he wasn't.
I think more that actually it's a shame that my generation, that's the sort of, that's what's filtered down. That's what's filtered down about Graeme Souness over the years.
Yeah, well, that I'd say that's definitely unfair. I actually played against Graeme Souness when he was at Middlesbrough. Graeme knew the game and could tell, this is going against us, I'll get on the ball, the pass here and the pass there. Recognising it is one thing. A lot of players don't recognise it. Graeme could recognise it and do something about it. Now, he wasn't the quickest in the world, and he was aggressive.
Yeah.
So that's what you'd remember, him being in trouble and a bit hot-headed at times. So he would get into trouble, but that wouldn't be a fair, in my opinion, it wouldn't be a fair assessment of his ability to do what needed to be done in the great Liverpool team. Because they had good players around, Dalglish as well. But Graeme was the one in the midfield. Like, when you're playing in a forward position like Dalglish, you're too far forward to control the game, Nathan. Obviously, you can control what you're... But to actually dictate the game is a different type of skill altogether, and mentality.
So you don't need to be that deepest lying midfielder?
No.
Because I think there's that impression now that's the person's role.
It's become fashionable, the holding midfield player. Now, I think it's a myth, the holding midfield player. The best way to protect the game is to have the ball, right? And in Graeme Souness's place, and Scholes very much the successful Manchester, because you'd Beckham on one side, you'd Keane on the other side, doing what they did. But it was Scholes that actually dictated the game. You know, it takes a certain ability and a certain mentality.
Yeah.
As far as it's knowledge of the game, this game has gone against us. What can I do? Right? First thing, you get hold of the ball. Keep it. No fancy passes, no, just ball here, a ball there, take the sting out of it, and you're running down the clock at the same time. And usually when you're winning in that position, the other team get frustrated and start doing foolish things.
Yeah. Right?
Now they say, oh, we push the fullbacks forward. Do well. Now you go and nick another goal. But you have to have the mentality to recognise that, and then you have to have the ability to do it. If you're talking about young Rice, I think young Rice would have the mental ability to do it. I don't know whether he would have the physical ability as a player. He's a big lad, he's a terrific player. But whether he would have the control and the, of a Modric or a Souness or a Scholes, I would doubt. Maybe I'd be wrong, but that's the way I would see it. He could have the mentality, but he wouldn't have the skill. The Sumlevs have the skill, don't have the mentality.
Yeah, and when you think back to Souness at that time, so when you would have been playing him at Middlesbrough, he would have been a young player, probably early 20s. You were in a position where you were one of the best midfielders in English football, and he's just starting out. He's probably still 7-8 years away from getting to that level. Did you recognise at that time?
Yeah. Well, what happens in that situation, you can recognise what he's trying to do. Right? He wouldn't have the experience, but you can recognise that he's trying to. And he had the experience as well. I don't know if he was that young when I played against him. But you could tell he had that, what they call it, personality now. You know, the foreign coaches, everything is personality. Graham had the personality and the confidence to do what needed to be done. You know, I made a mess of it when I was 21. I played in the semi-final of the Cup against a great Spurs team. That's when Matt Busby fell out with me. I was only 21. And I was trying to do that, Nathan. And I had a nightmare in the match.
Why?
I couldn't do it. I wasn't able to do it. I didn't have the mentality. I had the will to do it, but I didn't have the mentality to do it because it's quite an experienced position. I was playing against Danny Blanchflower and John White and Dave McKay at them, three great players.
So what were you doing? Demanding the ball in positions?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been asking for it?
Well, I should have been asking for it, but I was asking too much of myself. I didn't have the experience to do it. And I'm only going on my own experience now. And I don't want to be talking about it. But I was very lucky in many ways. I tried to do that. Bobby Charlton was playing on the left wing. I was playing in the main position. We're beaten 3-1, but I was hopeless. I was hopeless. I had a terrible game. And Matt lost confidence in me, actually, after that, and pushed me out to the right wing for the following season. But I never regained that confidence. So I moved to Leeds when I was 22, right? Mm. I was still too young to do that job, but I was very lucky. At Leeds, we had Bobby Collins playing in that position, who was one of the great players, right? And I was playing sort of right side of midfield, but Bobby was the main man, right? Bobby got injured. And I took over from Bobby, but I was 25, 26 at that stage.
So you were ready for it.
I was able for it. So I had the mentality, I had the will to do it and the knowledge to do it, but I didn't have the maturity to do what needed to be done. It's a very, very mature position. Graham, you see, was released by Spurs. So Graham went to Middlesbrough, learned his trade really at Middlesbrough before he went to Liverpool. So when he went to Liverpool, he was ready for it, playing with good players. And Graham, it takes time to do it, Nathan, you know?
Yeah.
To learn. It's one thing having the ability to do it, but it's the other thing having the will to do it.
Yeah,
that's where he learned.
A word of warning for Declan Rice if he's thinking about leaving West Ham this summer to maybe bide his time and learn his game. We'll talk a lot more about the Champions League final over the next few weeks.
I don't think he's a terrific player. I don't think he'll ever get into that position.
Right.
I think he'll be a top class midfield player, but I don't think he'll have the creative ability to step into that role. I doubt it very much.
Just briefly on this Sunday, the final day of the season, Manchester City have to slip up or Liverpool don't have a hope. Obviously, they've won 13 games in a row now, Manchester City. They've never been behind in any of those 13 games, so they've never had that bit of pressure. Any glimmer of hope for Liverpool at all?
I think so. I think, like some people said at Brighton, they'd be better off if they were fighting against relegation. I don't think so. I think there's less pressure on them. And they're a dogged bunch. You saw them against Arsenal last week. They were good. You know, Chris has them well organised. I don't think it'll be an easy game for it. Because all the managers, they'll have a go. There's no doubt about it. And, obviously Liverpool have to do their stuff against Wolves. But they are playing at home and they've got their tails up, as we know. I think City have it more difficult on paper. I wouldn't rule it out, Nathan. Definitely wouldn't rule it out. I think Brighton will be dogged and City have to really do their stuff.
Yeah,
it's a great race. I mean, you'd have to say, whoever finished second is very, very unlucky, and they've made a great race of it between the pair of them.
Yeah, and we'll have full coverage on Sunday's Off the Ball. Myself and John Walters will be at Anfield for Liverpool's game. Full updates from Brighton as well. John, great to have you in for the Football Show.
Thanks, Nathan.
We'll talk about it all on next Thursday evening's Off the Ball.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.